Are you a Mercedes-Benz customer? How would you spend 48 hours in the brand new Mercedes-Benz C-Class? Maybe you'd get away for the weekend. It's August after all. Right now, Mercedes-Benz customers can discover the new C-Class range with a 48-hour test drive. And with the saloon, coupe, cabriolet and estate models all available, it's up to you whether you take just your sunglasses or your entire wardrobe. But hurry, this offer's only available in August. To book your 48-hour test drive, contact your nearest Mercedes-Benz retailer today.
Extended test drives available until 31st of August. Mercedes-Benz customers, participating retailers only. Excludes AMG models. Subject to availability. Terms and conditions apply.
Nana's Magic Soup.
I'm looking after my grandson today. He's not feeling well and my daughter's at work. So I'm cooking something to make him feel better.
It's lots of stuff he doesn't normally like. Carrots, onions, peppers.
Until I put them all in the blender
and turn them into a bowl of Nana's Magic Soup.
Thanks, Nana.
You're welcome, my love.
Make your own magic soup that's packed with flavour and two of your five a day. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
Hot dang. It's Jessica. Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is my lovable, wonderful friend who has just been bashing me all season long on his blog, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com, and also Rose Prick's Bachelor Roast podcast. What's going on?
Yes, Rose Prick's.
Rose Prick's.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up? What's up? Happy Thursday.
I was cracking up watching this reunion. So funny.
Me too. Oh my God. I mean, Wednesday nights, between this and Dallas, which we will be covering Dallas mañana, between those two shows, it was just a highly, highly entertaining lineup on Bravo.
It really was.
It was fabulous. And of course, we had a fabulous night together last night at Erin Gibson's book launch for Feminasty, Erin Gibson from Throwing Shade. So everyone should go buy her book. And I've decided I'm going to start up a new podcast called Throwing Sade. And it'll be very similar, except much sexier and chill, you know?
Yeah, you know, we could just like get different things made into Sade's, like soap, and then we'll throw a soap.
throw
like a pillow
soap
made Sade. Out of Sade's face, you know, and then we'll throw that.
It's sensual and violent.
Yeah.
But anyway, go buy that book. We had a great time. We saw a bunch of people in the community. We actually met some people who listened to the podcast. Hey, Adriana.
Girl.
So, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about important things. Like, for instance,
Age shaming.
How about not ticket shaming? Not ticket buying shaming. We have a show in Denver coming up in September. So go buy tickets for that. It's going to be great. We're probably going to talk about Real Housewives of Dallas. I think, isn't that what we talked about? I don't remember. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but that seems like that's probably what it will be. It's a Thursday show, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so
I'm leaning back because you're doing the spiel, so I'm just like leaning back.
Go open your decks, open your screen
you
door.
Walk,
take go.
Hang.
You can talk. Hang. No, Ronnie, listen. Open up that screen door. Get a few whiffs in on your e-cig or whatever it is, and I will explain. So anyway, Real Housewives of Dallas. We're going to talk about it in Denver. You guys, just go listen to our shows from this weekend, and that should sell you enough on it. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com for tickets for that. And then next month, we're going to be in New York. We're taking our show to the Gramercy Theater, the famous Gramercy Theater in New York, y'all. We have two nights there, the 11th and the 12th. And in fact, we're even, for the Friday night show, we think we're going to do a classic episode. We got a poll going on our Facebook group, Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It. It's a private group, so you have to join if you want to weigh in on the poll. The poll is basically, do you want us to cover a classic Real Housewives of New York episode or a classic Princesses Long Island? Spoiler alert, New York is way in the lead. So anyway, y'all
good,
go do that.
Because I want to do like a Morocco, New York or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's probably what we're going to do. I mean, we will honestly, that's, I mean, it's basically what we're going to do. But if you like a poll, go vote.
Yeah. Very excited. So after New York, we're going to do Seattle, and then we are going to Nashville. So go
Yeehaw!
Get your ticket. You can find ticket links at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's also the last week to get your gosh t-shirts, so go get those. The links are at watchwhatcrappens.com as well. And now, also Patreon, our bonus episode was super fun, talking about our trip last week and the strip club we went to.
Yeah.
Those episodes are always fun, and you can find those at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now let's get into the Real Housewives of New York City.
Oh my God. Reunion part two. Wow. Things were feisty on this episode, but of course they were feisty. It's Roni.
It's real. Yeah. But there was a lot of like Bethany trying her old tricks and then Carol not taking her old tricks. And then Andy coming in with his bodyguard ass to try and save Bethany from her old tricks. But people are still against Carol. I mean, after all that, because Carol really just, she overplayed her hand. You know, she's just not as smooth.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the scuttlebutt that I read on ye old internet seemed like a lot of people were anti-Bethany. But of course, it's always split. I have to say, I mean, I was actually very impressed with the way Carol handled herself. We were joking last week in Palm Beach that, Carol just always gets shat on during the reunion. Someone always says to Carol, you know what, shut up. You know, it's like, we'll call you when we need you, you know? But this is she finally was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to quit this damn show, and I've had enough. I'm just going to just let it out right here. And I felt like she actually defended herself so well that I was shocked to find myself leaning back towards Team Carol. I have actually been Team Bethany in this fight almost from the beginning, and I kind of felt like Carol just cleaned the floor with Bethany this week.
Well, I was Team Carol all the way until, because Bethany, the way I remember the season, and I know we're all Housewives watchers, so we have our own special memories of the way it went down. But from what I remember, Carol didn't even know Bethany was mad at her until past mid-season. So Bethany was acting like she was fine with Carol, but behind her back and to us, she was saying all sorts of nasty shit.
Right.
And then Carol found out, and that's when she started to get slightly mad. But even then, she would just call Bethany out on it, and Bethany would pretend it's okay, and then go talk more shit.
Right.
So it wasn't really until Carol started coming, too hard for me. I mean, I don't know. I like when you come hard, but be fun about it. Carol's just like, meh, you know.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, originally,
it's rough, but I am looking at the internet and seeing, even on Reddit, they had to shut down the threads and say there's going to be one Carol and Bethany mega thread so that all of you can come just bitch in this thread, because every post is like, fucking Bethany, you know?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, yeah, I mean, I was like on Bethany's side, you know, I felt like, you know, like Carol was entranced by Tinsley and they were just like being clicky and Bethany was left out and her feelings were hurt and she just didn't have the tools because of her crazy upbringing to just express herself, and she doesn't know how to say things right and she makes the situation worse and worse. But then after this fight, I'm like, you know, that may all be true, but at the same time, she really does have a way of glossing over her contributions to a fight. And Carol just kind of, I felt like Carol came with the evidence. I feel like Carol's receipts. Bethany had a binder, but she didn't read anything out of it because Carol had the real receipts, not the ones made in crayon.
Yeah, not the Vicky receipts.
Not the Vicky ones. But we'll get into that. You know what? You know what? We're going to get into it. Why are we jumping so far ahead? Let's start at the beginning. Whoa, whoa. It's little Joseph. Little Joseph. Impromptu
At
Joseph.
At the beginning, guys. Okay, so I don't know if any of you have wondered this, but does Dorinda have a problem with alcohol? We're starting with Dorinda, and Dorinda's like, oh, Jesus, again? And he's like, yeah, so you don't think you have a problem with alcohol? She's like, I think it was becoming a problem last fall, okay? And I need to check myself, okay? Check. I didn't know who I was becoming, you know, why I was using an outlet.
Check.
Like, why are you using an outlet? That's so Dorinda, too. Like, come on, outlet, you want to fight?
She's fighting with it. I'm going to take a fork and you. All right, I deserve that. I deserve that. So, yeah, so basically she's like, well, what I started to do is I started to see a therapist once every 2 weeks, not once a week, I can't commit to that, but once every 2 weeks, and I talk to my mom.
So, next up, but in Cartagena with Luann, and then we see the cliff where Luann's like, well, a lady, huh? You're a lady who just broke your glass in front of me.
3, 2, 1, she's a lady with broken glass. Annie Lennox walking on Dorinda's broken glass. Medley. Would you believe it, girls? It's a Dorinda medley. Get it?
And Andy says, well, you got mad because she said you're turning. Now, to be fair, you do sometimes turn when you're getting drunk. It's just,
yeah, but Andy, I wasn't even drunk there. That's why I got mad. I wasn't even drunk. We had just sat down, Andy.
Like, that's a rule. Like, she's only drunk if she's sitting down for longer than 5 minutes.
Well, I like that, like, yeah, exactly. Oh, we just sat down, so therefore she couldn't possibly be drunk. I'm like, do you remember Puerto Rico? You, like, got drunk just walking through, like, a door jam, you know? But she's just, like... But also, it's, like, what never got broached in this segment, which pissed me off, was not, like... It's not about whether you were drunk or not. It's that what Luann said was, honestly, it was not even... I won't even say benign, because I can see how it upset Dorinda. I get it. But it was... But, honestly, Dorinda's response... Especially considering that she's allegedly sober, was so much more vicious than anything Luann said. You know, like, there's a way to say that. There's a way to say, listen, you know what? Don't judge me or whatever. But she just was like, oh, the moment she felt some judgment from Luann that she felt was hypocritical, she just went for the jugular. And that's nasty.
Yeah, the fight here is not, you know, it's whether or not Dorinda's a drunk, which shouldn't be the fight. It's like, okay, why are you an asshole?
Yeah.
Because no one should talk to anybody like that. And you do it all the time.
Yeah.
That said, of course, you're my favorite. Please never change.
No, totally. Don't change at all. Like, but just like, this was Andy's fault. Because you're right. It should be about why are you an asshole when you drink? Not why are you drunk. It's why are you an asshole?
Yeah, and if you weren't drunk, then why are you an asshole? At least if you're drunk, you have an excuse. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, if you were sober, then why were you yelling like that when you were sober? And she's like, come on, Andy, I'm sober. And Andy's like, really? She's like, oh, what, Andy? And then Bethany's just squinting and nodding. She's like,
yeah. Like, even Ramona, even this one, even this idiot, even this stupid idiot at the end of the thing, she thought you were drunk. I mean, like, you know, she's on a program now where she doesn't say what she truly feels what's right. But, like, you know what, that night she said in the morning, she said in the day, she said during, after, before, during it, the entire time. It was like all that Ramona could talk about. You know what? Like, right. And Ramona's like, whoa. Well, I don't remember saying anything. Were we even in Columbia? Are we talking about the university on the Upper East and West Side? Where is that university anyway? I don't get it.
Yeah, go ahead. Stick with your alliance. It's an alliance. This is an alliance. It's an alliance. This is an alliance. Like, okay, Bethany. But also, I like when Sonya goes, oh, she was drunk. And Ramona said something like, she's drunk. But I just wrote, she's drunk as Geraldine Parsons Smith. She threw a flip-flop at my head at my graduation ceremony. And she's like, wait a minute. Okay, so now you're saying she's drunk, and then you said it then. What, you're on a program of just not saying the truth? Like, come on. Alliance!
alliance.
So then we cut to a clip of Ramona saying it to the group where Dorinda was wasted. She goes, well, we all tend to change personalities after too many drinks, Dorinda. And Dorinda goes, shut your mouth! In the clip.
Sober. Totally sober.
Yeah, totally sober. And Ramona... So then we cut back and Dorinda's like, it was loaded, that question. It was loaded and she knew it. And I just think it's funny that she keeps saying loaded in a drunk conversation.
Yeah, who's the loaded one? Now Ramona's changing her tune and she goes, you know what? It just wasn't the right time for Luann to say that to Dorinda. Wasn't the right time. Wasn't the right place. Like, don't rain on her parade.
Don't tell her not to live just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's full of butter, okay? Don't bring around a cloud to rain on Dorinda's parade, unless it's full of Tito's, in which case she'll open her mouth and start staring at the clouds.
Dorinda's parade is like the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City. You know, it's like fun in theory, but it's like so cold and like unpleasant. And the only way you can get through it is if you get really, really drunk. And there are no floats.
And she's just throwing beads at people's heads. I'm not drunk.
So then she's like, oh, you think I'm not supportive? I had a special ring on my phone for her when she was in rehab. So I know when she was calling me.
It was called Bugaboo by Beyonce's Child.
It's called Margaritaville.
Da-da-da-da-da, Lou's in rehab.
Right, she just got in rehab and jail, okay? She was in, like, rehab mode. You know what that is? It's like, you come out, you're like, oh my god, I was in rehab, and now I'm not. This is crazy. Like, she thought she was Sandra Bullock for 4 weeks. She kept trying to save people on buses. It was insane. I'm like, you've never even been on a bus. Yeah. Like, who are you kidding?
Yeah, you ever play Super Mario Odyssey in rehab mode? Here's what happens. Mario goes into another world, and then he's like, whoa, can't do this. I'm in rehab. And he, like, goes to sleep. It's, like, terrible. Like, you have to respect him.
So then Andy's like, Lisa from LaShonda LaQuanda says, you know, Luann is becoming sober, so why don't you try getting sober, Dorinda? You fucking obvious drunk. And then Dorinda's like, hey, listen, I didn't get arrested and go to rehab. You gotta remember here, Lou didn't go to rehab because she had some big revelation, right? She went because she got arrested and was practically court ordered, which is a very good point because sometimes people give too much credit, like, oh, man, Luann really caught herself. And
yeah.
Decided to make a change. It's no, like, she was like, no, forced. She went to get introduced.
Yeah, but I think we can all agree it was probably a good idea. And as opposed to Dorinda, who's like, if I choose to go to rehab, it's because I hit rock bottom, okay? And Bethany's like, well, some might argue that you saying that you're to your friend who just got out of rehab, that she's like an ex-countess felon, might be the rock bottom. Dorinda's like, yeah, you don't know how far I can go.
Your next question, Andy. Like, she makes a fart clip. Also, Bethany, let's replay the scene of everything you said to Sonia last year. Are you an alcoholic? You fucking hypocrite. So Bethany goes, getting arrested isn't the only reason to go to rehab. And Sonia's like, yeah, I got for you a good juice and dick. Like, it's a fun place. Why is rehab getting such a bad rap here?
So who should think that Luann should apologize to Dorinda? And of course, Ramona and Carol raised their hands. I was actually a little surprised that Carol raised her hand because I thought Carol, she, like, empathized with Dorinda, but ultimately, you know, she seemed to be oddly Team Lou. But, no, she...
That's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's gone for whatever reason. It's gone now. So Bethany goes, apologize to who? And Ramona goes, to who? To Dorinda. For being insensitive to Dorinda.
She had a parade. She rained on it. She drank on her parade.
Yeah, Bethany's like, well, some of us. I mean, I'm not going to say who. Feral. Could be more sensitive to someone who had just come out of rehab and jail, like almost, you know, choke-fed bologna sandwiches, okay? Like, that girl was spitting up mustard packets for 3 days. Okay? Give her the benefit of the doubt. And Dorinda goes, I was so sensitive, and I'm so proud of myself for that. So, you know, I've been sensitive 24/7, so thanks for that, Bethany. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. And so then Sonia finally pipes up and she's like, oh, yeah, like you never turn when you drink. And she's just saying you were turning. And Dorinda goes, Shut up,
Sonia.
Shut up.
Mouth.
Carol's like, Sonia, you're the last person to talk about getting drunk. Zing.
How about instead of talking a mile a minute, you start walking a mile a minute? Marathon!
So he's like, well, I don't get drunk and insult my friends' vaginas, which I don't think actually anyone insulted a vagina, but, you know.
She means when Carol, when Dorinda told her to put an easy pass on her vagina.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You know what? Never mind. And Dorinda just goes. I
mean, it's like you're bringing out Dorinda's greatest hits. It's like you're trying to win a fight, but then America was like, oh, yeah, that was funny. God, yeah. Dorinda's funny.
And then Dorinda just goes, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah,
just like shut. Berating her, you know.
Yeah, you're the new Carol. Tell your mouth to do something your legs will never do and shut up.
So then after all this, it's like, so Dorinda, do you still want to be Luann's safe place? And she's like, let me tell you something about that fucking ungrateful bitch passing judgment on me. I still love her. I want to be friends. I know we'll come back together.
So crazy. So next up is the cabaret. Andy's like, so who agrees that it's fucked up that Luann invited Scott but not the fat one? And Bethany's like, well, I thought she made it clear that she invited Scott because she already got in trouble with Dorinda, so she invited Scott at the last second.
And Ramona's like, whoa, double hands up, both hands in the air, raise the roof with both of my hands. It was fucked up two times over. If I had another hand, I would raise it. Here comes my foot. I'm raising my foot right now. I'm trying to get near some static electricity so my hair can go up too. Is it up yet? Avery, can you lift up my hair? She's my best friend and my hair lifter. Good job, Avery. You're doing a great job.
I put Ramona's on the Ramona coaster because she's like, whoa, whoa, with her hands in the air. Whoa.
It's like a drop. Pink said, so put your hands up in the air and we're going to dance like Mario don't care. Is that a song? Did I just make that up?
So Dorinda's like, la la, I got a text. She starts like whipping her text out from behind her dress. And she's like, I got a text. It says it was a girl's night and I should have known that. Yeah, but that still doesn't mean, like, you still called and yelled at her. So she probably thought, well, I guess I'm in trouble. I'll invite Scott.
Yeah.
Now, because we know Scott was invited at the last second. So then Ramona's like, look, it was hurtful. Okay.
Yeah.
And
You know what? Lou did not win this one, and Bethany, it was admirable that Bethany tried to defend it, but ultimately this was a mess up on Lou's part. I'm sorry. Even though yeah, it's like, oh well, she thinks that now John's coming, so she's gonna invite Scott. Like, I think overall, not Luann's finest moment. I think where Bethany has a better case though is that when she just turns it all around on Carol. And she's like, you know what? She's, like, doing cabaret right now. Like, she's got to do cabaret. And, like, she's very stressful. She has to be focused. And, like, that's not the time to, like, turn to Tinsley and be like, oh, you have to tell Dorinda this. You have to tell Dorinda. I was like, no, that's true.
Well, yeah, but it's because Andy started it because he's like, well, Ramona said that Lou had changed, but she hadn't. And she goes, yeah. And then Dorinda said she would deal with it later because it's Lou's night. And, you know, like, I told Bethany after all that discord, you know, like, maybe we should wait. But then Bethany said she had to tell the wimp right then. And then, boom, all that stuff happened. And Bethany's like, oh, yeah? Well, Tinsley was the one who felt she had to tell Dorinda right before the show. And then Dorinda yelled at Giovanni on the stage.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Giovanni, what's the matter? What's going on? What's happening? And then Dorinda's like, I wasn't like Giovanni like that. I was like, hey, Giovanni.
I like Dorinda's like differentiation between Giovanni and Giovanni.
And then Addie's like, well, it did sound like you were heckling her. And she goes, yeah, I did. But I needed to call him out. I love Giovanni. I love you, Giovanni. And Bethany's like, yeah, well, that's not the right time. While she is on the stage. That is a stage. Respect the stage. Whatever.
So Judy from Judytown is like, let's get back to this. So wait, is Dorinda a drunk? We're like, oh, okay. We'll just... okay, we'll go back. We'll go back to this. And so, basically the question is, hello, I know you guys are probably talking about something else right now because I'm not live at the reunion, but like, is anyone concerned about Dorinda? Anyone? And so Carol's
like, me.
Yeah. And Dorinda laughs it off like, oh, well, she is. She is. And Ramona's, oh, so funny. They're concerned. I'm fine. And she like passes out on the couch.
Mandy goes, well, Luann said you had a problem. She, oh, we're still going on with that. I mean, come on. Which is true. It's like, this has now been an hour and a half of the reunion. Is Dorinda a drunk? We know she's a drunk, okay? Let's stop acting like everybody fucking cares.
Yeah.
Hello. This is Countess Luann de Lesseps. I'm going to kill you all, but not before this ad. Would you believe it, girls? We have an ad.
Scientists believe that by the year 2018, we will be driving hovercrafts to work and teleporting to holiday destinations.
It's not easy to know what the future holds for our cities. Join host Alexander Armstrong and a panel of industry visionaries as they debate smart cities and new technologies in the urban world. Produced by Intelligence Squared in partnership with Shell, the Smart Cities podcast is available now on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and all other major platforms.
So So now the question is, now it's like talk about Luann again, and like, are you going to apologize to her or whatever? And she's like, I've tried. I've apologized to her 10 times on camera and off camera. I've done everything I can. Listen, I even wrote her something from the bitches. I was like, you want to come to the bitches? And she's like, didn't write back. I'm like, it's the bitches. I was like, yeah, write back to the bitches.
I believe we'll come back at some point. And Ramona's like, yeah, you'll come back at some point. And then Dorinda just shrugs. So now to get a break from that, we get a whirlwind romance with Scott and Tinsley. And the clip of Bethany like, oh my God, it's like you're going to try out coffins. Like when you're trying on a wedding dress, okay? And yeah. Tinsley getting all upset at her eggs. My eggs!
Yeah, it was weird that they didn't rehash the coffin thing because that became a stupid little argument. And I'm surprised that Andy did not try to, like, poke Tinsley because she basically did nothing. She's done nothing this reunion. And so I was surprised that he wasn't going to get Tinsley and Bethany to fight, you know, where Bethany would have to clarify. Like, I wasn't saying that I'm hoping she dies. I'm saying it's like, it's weird to me. Like, you know, and I thought they were going to rehash that, but they didn't. They didn't. Instead, it was just like, you know, like we got to see the whole segment of like the eggs and everything. And I don't know if you noticed when they had like Sonia in the little corner watching. And when it got to the eggs part, Sonia just goes, what the hell? What is this? It's like she hadn't seen it yet, and she's like, what's going on?
So then it becomes the relationship, and Tinsley was saying on Watch What Happens Live that she broke up with Scott, but now they're together. It's like, yeah, we're back together. And he's like, so when you guys take all of these breaks, is he seeing other people? She's like, yeah, he's seeing other people. And he goes, how does that make you feel? And she goes, not well, bitch. And Dorinda goes, yeah, not well, bitch. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. That was a good one.
And it's like, and so how are you dealing with it? She's like, well, I have to be an adult. I have to be an adult about it because I'm like not an adult about other things like my eggs. So I'm going to be an adult about this.
What am I going to do? Just get mad that he's like fucking other people and then lose him? I was like, okay, you're pathetic. You belong on The Bachelor. This is the most pathetic thinking.
That's
get
not
a job,
cool.
Okay? I know I'm saying it all the time to people lately, but I'm really sick of people staying with shitty men like this because they don't want to move out of their hotel apartment.
Yeah, I think it's actually like not cool if they are like they date and then they like separate and then he sees other people and then he comes back. Like Tinsley, you just like he may be nice and cool and everything, but you deserve a man who's just wants to be with you all the time.
Yeah, right? I mean, if you're into dating and you're into seeing other people, that's fine. It's not like you can only see one person at a time. You know, I'm not a grandma.
Yeah, but they're like
she's totally
into it.
And then even this, he goes, where do you see yourself in a year? And she goes, engaged-ish. We talked about it.
And then Andy's like, with no disrespect, are you more interested in having a husband or interested in Scott? She's like, I want Scott. I love Scott.
Scott.
I don't know. She was like checked out. She was like in her sleep mode, which is blink, 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 blink. So then we go.
This is where we see that Carol has totally turned on Luann, right?
Mm-hmm. Because we're in the Luann segment.
Yeah, because we're into the Luann segment. Andy's like, well, we would have been here to have this segment about Lou's triumphant return from downfallen mustard packet torturous to. Cabaret phenomenon across the entire globe. And then it cuts to Carol just rolling her eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah. Jealousy does not look good.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we haven't reached the end of that story. Mm-hmm. Let's watch.
So we watch a very extensive like clip package of Luann's entire journey across the season. The best part was during the arrest because when they were showing that footage, we got to see Ramona in the little box, and Ramona's eyes were just flaring more than we've seen in like three seasons. They're just like wide open, like whoa, look at that dress that she's wearing in front of a judge. Who would wear that in front of a judge? I can't believe she wore that at the colony. No wonder why she didn't get invited to the yacht.
I wrote Ramona shrug, Ramona eyes, Ramona eye shrug, Ramona shrug eye, Ramona shrug, Ramona eye.
Just Ramon in that little box was hysterical.
Yeah.
So then Andy's like, God, it would have been nice to have her here. So, Bethany, you were with her a lot this weekend. Tell us what happened. And Bethany's like, Yeah, I've been talking to her a lot. Like, I connected her with Dennis to help him with legal issues, you know, like, and, which is sad.
Sad.
And then,
and by the way, it was nice that they put in a little thing for Dennis at the end of the show.
Yeah. She was like, and then, but this weekend, finally, we had to, like, sat and face reality because, like, she's not going to do the reunion. The recent situation with the family didn't help with the family, you know, and the lawsuit and her kids. And, like,
she
kind of gave us the whole story in 2 seconds because she talked so fast.
Exactly. And Ramona's, like, weighing in with her, like, psychological thing. Too much. It's a court case. She can't handle a court case. She has a big head, but not a lot of capacity inside. It's very surprising. It's a lot of cushioning, okay? She can't handle it all. She had to go away to Luann camp.
Yeah, and he's like, well, she brings up the lawsuit with the kids, and Dorinda's like, you get the feeling that she can get out of that lawsuit. See, if this was handcuffs, would they be the handcuffs in West Palm Beach or the handcuffs in the Bronx? Because those are apparently two different things.
But he's like, the Palm Beach ones, yeah.
And so, and he asks, like, basically what they would want to know. And she's like, well, she would want you to know that it's not because of her family. She'll take care of that, you know.
And then Andy's like, so did you guys get the feeling, you know, last season she called you guys all jealous bitches of her marriage, and then of course that fell apart. Did you feel like that she came back to this season with her tail between her legs? And they're all like, no.
Not really.
Not really.
Yeah, it's Luann, okay? And then Bethany goes, oh yeah. You know, I think it was a turning point in her trusting me. It's like, okay, of course, leave it to Bethany. So Ramona's like, well, you know, I told her in Mexico stuff about Tom, and she said, oh my God, don't tell Noelle. And honestly, I think that's why she fell down. And Andy goes, well, also because she had like 19 tequilas. And she goes, yeah, that too, I guess. And he goes, do you think that she drank too much tequila in Mexico because you told her about Tom? And Dorinda goes, well, it didn't help.
Now, I missed all this because my DirecTV had a glitch. It got like scrambled. And then when it came back, we were in commercial. So I missed this little portion here.
Oh, you're going to love this. Okay, so let me see here so I don't mess it up. So Andy's like, so have any of you seen her drinking when she said she was supposed to be sober? And Ramona like does like the major Ramona shrug. And she goes, yeah, she was at the Beacon.
Yeah, that's where I came back, the Beacon.
She goes, I'm surprised it wasn't in Page 6.
Yeah.
She was leaning back on her friend, and she kicked her legs up in the air and did a Sonya, and then they had to escort her out. Like, so much so that they had to escort her out.
Yeah, that's where I came back. And then basically, Dorinda was like, yeah, and Bethany, you knew she was drinking, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, I knew. So, like, Bethany didn't even try to deny it.
Yeah, trying to blame her, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you know, I wouldn't say she didn't come to the decision entirely on her own. There were a few people there. It was very emotional. And Ramona goes, it's sad, okay?
Very sad. Sad. It's like getting a stemless glass without even any lines in it. Very sad on so many different fronts.
And he's like, but what do you guys think happened? Remember when Carol taught her what coffee was? And Dorinda's like, yeah, you know her problem. She said she could have just one. It's like, oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks, yeah. Betty Ford.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, Dorinda. So Sonia's like, I had a lot of wonderful sober time with Luann. I mean, she was great. She was hanging out. She only had like 2 bottles of wine. It was very simple. And Andy's like, you know, when I saw her at Cabaret, she did seem a little off. And Sonia's like, oh, whatever. I tried.
Yeah. So then we talk about like, do you guys really feel for her? And Bethany's like, yeah, you know what? I feel for her. Because like, now that I know her, like, I feel like she just really wants to be loved, you know? Like, she's so huge. Like, she's gigantic. Yeah. Like, seriously, she walks onto an airplane and people shrink back in their seats. Like, holy shit, please don't let her sit next to me, you know? Yeah. Like, can she find a hat? No, she can't because the head's ginormous. Like, she's literally the biggest person I've ever seen.
Yeah, she's like a big baby.
She's a big baby.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? She's like, you know, you go to Bob's Big Boy, you know? You go to that diner, there's like a big baby on top of the roof. You know, it's like Bob's. She's called Luann's Big Boy. You know what? It's just like Luann. Luann up there. It's like a big baby with a statement necklace, okay? Like, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And like, hair that has points, okay? You know what? That's all. And you know, she's trying her best, okay?
Dorinda says, the happiest time for Lou was when she was with the Count and had kids and she was laughing.
And Bethany's like, yeah, and then it unraveled when she was in the Hamptons alone. I'm like, yes, yes, and this is all very sad, and Lou has gone through so much pain, and I'm not going to take away any of that pain. But let's also remember that that's when Luann was a flaming Cut Fitness.
Yeah, okay? Which was
so, like,
highlight.
It's like Luann is happier than ever, but she's also evil as ever to anybody else. So it's like, what do you take, you know?
Yeah.
Like, which one would you prefer? Because all this miserable above. Drunk Luann is at least nice and fun for the most part.
I don't know. I like all versions of Luann. I think they're all great. I think they're all great and entertaining and, you know, iconic. So so now it's like, now we're going to focus on Ramona trying to get an invitation to Tom's New Year's party down in Palm Beach on the yacht. So was that okay? Especially considering that Ramona was like talking shit about it at Duff's book party earlier, like a few weeks earlier. So Ramona, was that, you know, was that hypocritical of you to try to go to Tom's? She goes, well, Andy. Thank you for the question. That was a very good question. It's very good.
Very good.
Well very stated. Question. A lot of good words in it. I like the the syllables. I like the rhythm of it. It's a good question. Asked from a good man. Talk to a good woman. I think we all have to think about that question. And I want to thank you for asking it. Next question.
In retrofitting, it wasn't a good idea, okay? You know, I just wasn't thinking. That's all I did. I just wasn't thinking. It's like Ramona the Apologizer back for another round. And he's like, but you even badmouthed Tom right before this all happened. She goes, yeah, and guess what? I said, wasn't thinking. That is the truth.
What a good question.
Was I thinking? And the answer is no, I wasn't thinking.
All his friends are my friends, and my friends are his friends, and none of us think. We have a thinking problem. You know when you said you have a thinking problem? I have a very strong thinking problem, and I can't stop thinking sometimes. But sometimes I can stop, and it's awful. And
I'm a maven of thinking.
I'm a maven.
You just had to go to this party? And she goes, no, not I had to go. My friend really wanted to go. Okay, she's the one who had to go. And he goes, oh, and you don't have your own mouth? And she goes, it was a very blunt moment, Andy. Hey, I'm glad you asked that.
I actually do not have my own mouth. This mouth was surgically implanted onto me in third grade. If this one time was a little girl, I was like, I want to sing a song. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, I'm so sick of you singing bad songs, that she actually chopped off my mouth with a machete, and I had to get a new one put on. So actually, Andy, to answer your question, which I think is a very good question, I actually don't have my own mouth. I'm sorry, but let's face it.
This day, I can't even use a machete, okay? Yeah,
I can't. I can't even watch that movie, Machete. It brings back too many memories.
So he's like, okay, Ramona, okay. So basically, you were in Palm Beach when she was there, right? Just no. And that was not the same time. It was after. And Bethany goes, yeah. She was making plans while Luann was arrested, okay? It's like all over the news, and Ramona's making party plans. And she goes, but he declined. Like, he said no. And Andy goes, wait a minute, he said no? Which I love when Andy outs the fact that he kind of doesn't watch his shows, you know? It's like they're on in the background. And Ramona goes, yes, which I'm so lucky for, because it gave me an out from my maniac friend who's trying to make me go. And Sonya goes, I was invited, and I didn't go because I'm a good person. And Bethany, like, pats her head and puts a little treat in her mouth.
So does anyone think that Luann's cabaret show and her fame is affecting her? And, of course, Dorinda's like...
Like, literally everyone at the same time was like, yep.
Yeah, they're all like, I mean, Shorty has a pumpkin head, and now, I mean, it's just out of control.
Yeah, like, she literally has the biggest head I've ever seen on a human being. It's even bigger now. Like, it's nuts. Like, they didn't even want to let her into rehab because they only have beds that are so wide.
They actually have to hold up her head with, like, little wooden planks. It's like, it's crazy.
So Dorinda's like, yeah, she was feeling herself. She was losing people, losing. I mean, even after me, okay? I was before. And Bethany says, she felt like the arrest made her more famous than ever, which is so Luann. Like,
yes.
Look at me. I've been arrested. This is fabulous. Have you seen the free Lou shirts? I've made it.
Yeah, but you kind of, like, can't even blame her. I mean, look what happened to Martha Stewart after she went to jail. She became more loved than ever before. Sometimes, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, everyone should get arrested, but, like, there is a pattern in society that when someone goes to jail, that sometimes they come out and people just sort of, like, love them even more. And so even though Dorinda's right that she probably confused fame with infamy, the truth is it was, like, barely fame and it's barely infamy either way. And so I kind of I get it. I mean, I don't think that Luann should become cocky, but, like, she is more famous now. She really is.
Well, as Mama always said, you get one bird in a bush, and you get five kinds of chicken.
It's like, okay, Dorinda, thanks. And Bethany's like, yeah, you know, got all so much larger than life. I guess it just needed to be leveled, and boom, it's leveled, okay? You know, yeah. It's a journey you go. It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey. So now we go to break, and we come back from break, and I was like, whoa, I think I'm ready to go to the bathroom. Does anyone mind if I go to the bathroom? Can we switch couches, and then I can go to the bathroom, and we can switch back? Got a bruise on my face that still hasn't been explained. And he's like, no, we're just going to do this thing real quickly. She's like, are you sure? Yeah, you got to sit down. She's like, okay. And then they start mouthing, I love you, Andy Cohen. You're like gay Mario.
He's like, I love you. You're like terrifying Ramona. She's like, oh my God, no, right? So then Carol and Bethany segments.
Here it comes.
Yeah, so we get here to see, it comes. We Brace get to, yourselves.
We get to see a whole long clip package of their fight as their relationship as it deteriorates. We got to see some stuff I've forgotten about, like when they were fighting in that restaurant and Luann just like, oh, it's sad. It's sad. It's so really sad. Oh, how awful to watch these two friends just tear each other down. I would hope that would never happen to me and you, Durin, right?
To see it happen in a public place. A restaurant.
A restaurant. And I was just about to perform here. Now it's ruined. But two things that I noticed from this montage. A, like 100% Bethany is the aggressor. Like in every single scene, it's Bethany coming at Carol. She's like, Bethany is a super aggressor, which may be stating the obvious, but it's just very apparent in this montage. And second of all, I love how we're watching a friendship fall apart. And again, the music's like, it's just like so light and like frilly and happy.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they put all that stuff in showing Bethany be the aggressor. Because it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
And Carol doesn't seem to be able to remember the right things to bring up, which is infuriating throughout this thing. You know, it all becomes this text fight again.
Yes. So basically what it starts off with, you know, it all started last summer and Carol was away. She was in LA because her friend Cassandra had lost her husband. So she was with Cassandra most of the summer. And when Carol came back, Bethany felt a little shift in their friendship, but not a lot, just a little.
Yeah, but I've seen it before. You know, sometimes things shift and, you know, then it goes away. You know, it's like HPV.
It's like typing.
It's like you're really worried about it and then it's gone. You're like, why is everybody so scared? Yeah. You know what I mean? And Carol's like, right.
And you knew I was training for the marathon.
Yeah, she did.
She's like, marathon.
And then Bethany's like, yeah, I saw the shift because the summer before we talked a lot and this summer we didn't. I'm like, did you not hear the part about her friend's husband dying and her taking
exactly.
care of
so Bethany's
the marathon. And she goes, yeah, but I took you to Montauk. And then when I came to get you from Montauk, you made me pick you up and drop you off. Like, you didn't even invite me inside. And I was like, what? And she's like, Cassandra didn't want to see new people. She was upset. She's like, oh, really? Because in LA, you went to dinner with new people. I saw you with new people. And she's like, Bethany, it was Cassandra and her friend. And Ramona's like, she felt slighted, okay?
She felt slighted.
That's all she's trying to say. She just felt slighted.
Well, yeah. I mean, what Bethany also doesn't realize is that, like, if Carol, I guess Cassandra was at Carol's house, and if Carol brings Bethany in, it's not like meeting one new person. It's like Bethany is the equivalent of eight people at once. Okay. She is so potent. So that's like a lot. Like, if you're just like chilling at home, being like, you know, it's the summer, I'm just watching Big Brother, I just want to chill out. And then like eight people walk in and they're all asking the same question all at once. You're like, I can't do this.
Yeah. It's like opening a portal to the sixth train.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like the subway just like barrels into your living room when you're just trying to watch Julie Chen.
Oh my God, right. So your husband died? Tell me about that. What was that like? Was it his fault? Whose fault was it? Was it a car crash? Was it cancer?
How do you guys know each other? You want a group dinner? Like, yeah, have a good group dinner there in LA? Yeah, I was in the Pacific Palisades. Is that what it was? Pee-pee? Brentwood?
She totally would have been,
she would
too.
Be like, so what do you do? Like, what happened? Okay, so you said, you got to move on right now? Okay, like, what's your brand? Like, I don't get it. Like, what are you even doing here? Like, why are you even in New York? Supposed to be in LA? Like,
what are a party girl? I'm looking at your Instagram. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference. Like, what's your brand? Well, you make Carol go out all the way out there to LA and then you just come out here New York, like, how about you just come to New York in the first place? That way, Carol doesn't go over there. Like, what's going on? I don't see any Cassandra.
Yeah, that is so true.
Two S's and one S.
She felt slighted, okay?
And Carol's like,
Well, but Bethany, I mean, I was sending you tons of messages, and I was asking all my friends to use their private planes for Puerto Rico. I mean, I have all tons of texts to show you. And Bethany's like, oh, really? Because I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see all these texts
yeah.
Where you're being so supportive and, like, asking for planes. And Andy goes, please don't. Please.
Yeah. Little does he realize. So, and but things
over there cracking up
yeah,
in the corner.
Tinsy, at that point, I was like, Tinsy's like us. She's just sitting there, like, eating the popcorn. So... This is where things are still pretty civil at this point. But now, you know, things start to deteriorate really because of Adam. You know, I feel like Adam is not getting enough blame for his role in this friendship falling apart because.
What'd he do?
Well, meaning that he is at the center. It's always a guy tearing apart the girls. In that he asked. So basically, it was the issue with Adam, and that Adam, you know. We all know. So there was the issue, this like nebulous thing that happened with where Bethany wanted Adam to do this thing and he said he wanted money. So Bethany called up Carol and basically was talking shit about Adam. Like that fucking, she thought she was like being like, this will be like an empowering pylon because they're broken up, but she didn't realize that they were back together. So it was wound up being like a nasty pylon. And then she like admittedly said that she did that and then pulled back. So now Carol starts to get ruffled for the first time now. And she's starting to say, like, you know, like,
people say mean things about you, Bethany, all the time. And I say, maybe she's having a bad day. Or maybe she's having a bad month. Or, you know, she has a terrible life. She's a miserable person, but I love her.
And vice versa, by the way.
Because now we're entering Bethany's, like, and you are, which is Bethany's... Like, that's lowest point in fighting. And you know Bethany's already lost the fight when she starts just over-talking you and saying, you are.
And that's what she does from here on out, yeah.
Yes, from here on out. So she's like, and vice versa, by the way. And she goes,
and then after that Adam thing, I said, if anybody says something negative to Adam again, shut it down. And she's like, well, you know, when I found out you weren't really broken up or truly broken up, I retreated, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, and it seems like you guys had a bunch of conversations trying to get back to normal. And Carol goes,
yeah, well, I wanted it to be back to normal, but I don't think she ever did. I think she was done with me. You know, you were ready for it to be over. And I said, let's talk. And you were dismissive, condescending, overbearing.
Bethany's like, I wasn't ready for it to be over. I said I wanted it to be done, not over. Done, not over. What's wrong with you, Carol? Why can't you say the words right? Okay, over. Not done. Done. Over. What? Huh? What?
Yeah, and then you said on TV that you don't have high hopes about our makeup. And she goes, no, I said I was proceeding with caution.
And then she's like,
you said you were texting me this, and I said that I don't want to hear from you. That was just a lie, Bethany. And she said, I sent you a text. And you said that I kept sending you texts, and that was a lie. I'm like, oh, yeah. My God, please. And then she said, and then you texted me and said, don't talk to me on camera to the other women. So yeah. Then she whips out her pink folder.
Yeah, this is where it becomes like the people's core. Which I
skinny girl red.
Yeah, I was like, this is where I'm ready for the
dun dun dun. Doug Llewellyn.
You know?
Right now, Judge Wapner.
It was like court. It was like they were walking into the courtroom. Carol has her Estelle Getty glasses on, you know.
Like, yeah, she really did.
Like, the cases you are seeing are real. The plaintiffs are real. You know, whatever they say, whatever that spiel is, you know. So it was Carol's, fully like that.
So Carol's got her big glasses and she's like, she's reading her phone. She's like,
you said, why are you so cold? I am your friend. Ramona is evil.
And Ramona goes, oh, whoa, thanks a lot. And Bethany goes, you're welcome.
That was my favorite part. Just like the casual, Ramona is evil.
Thanks a lot, Bethany.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know. That's the last thing I am. It's the last thing I am. I'm not saying I'm not evil. I'm just saying it's the last thing. Because I'm also a good friend and a supporter. And then I'm evil.
I'm not evil. I was just having a blunt moment. Okay. So Carol's like,
I said, stop the fighting. I want to enjoy the holiday. And you said something else about Ramona, which I won't say.
And Ramona goes, oh, another mean thing. Hey. Whoa. Thanks. Wow. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. That's crazy. Whoa. Oh, I know what she probably said about me. She probably says I really enjoy drinking wine out of stemless glasses. So wrong. I'm ageless. But you know, Bethany, because Bethany said, I sent you one text, not 50, and it was 8 sentences long, okay? Which I thought was such a specific, like, it's hilarious that she, like, counted it out and everything. But it's also hilarious that she was clearly wrong, because she never even read what she had that whole folder, and she didn't read anything out of it. So it's kind of funny, because in Bethany's mind, she sent one text and then Carol responded, and then they had further conversation, and she didn't count the other conversation. She didn't think it was part of the evidence. And Carol's like, no, this is the whole conversation. And she read it, and, you know, she kind of, she was being, you know, she was being more or less, like, normal. And even, even Andy was like, yeah, it seemed like that was pretty much fine. And so I really felt like Carol won the text evidence round.
Yeah. Yeah, she totally won it. And then Bethany's like, yeah, but then you were talking on the show, and then you got mad at me on the show where I said you don't have children. Like, who cares? You don't have children. She goes, I did not get mad at that. I did not. And then Andy goes, look, I think you've both said some things. And then we see a clip.
Well, and before Andy's saying that, Bethany makes her claim. She goes, you know what? I said one negative thing all season long. I just said that she didn't have a career. It's the only thing. And you talk bad about me all season long. And then that's when Andy's like, well, you both said negative things about each. Well, and Carol's like, no, you said bad things, etc. But it was funny to me that Bethany thought she only said one negative thing all season. And then they show this montage of them both talking so much shit.
Yeah, I'm a taker. I was a taker of Carol to trips. I was a taker of Carol to vacations. I was a taker of Carol to blah, blah, blah.
And then they show Carol saying, she's a 12-year-old and wants to be a victim. And then Bethany's like, yeah, you got to be a real moron to not notice Dorinda doesn't have a clown face. What kind of friend is that? You know, which there was a lot worse. So I was surprised that this was all they showed. But
now Carol's
Carol
fired
goes,
up.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, I did say stuff, but that was after all the other stuff had happened. And by the time we got to Cartagena, it was excruciating. Like, then I was talking shit. But
yeah,
that was the end of the season.
Yeah, and she's basically like, all you did this season was bully, brag, and bitch, you know? And then Bethany's like, I'll bully. At this point, like you said.
One example. Give me one example.
Bethany is now, again, sort of what Carol had said a few weeks ago, what you just said. Bethany is now concerned and just tripping her up. Like, she's like, give me one example. Tell me when that happened.
Okay,
I didn't say that specifically.
Okay, do it. You're going to do it. Okay, do it. Okay, do it. It's like, geez.
And I liked that Carol finally just was like, fuck her. And she's like, are we going to do this? Are you going to continue to bully me? Are we going to be able to speak? You know, and she's just really like, she has those glasses on, so she's, like, in full, like, school marm mode, you know? Yeah. And she's just, like, really, she's like, sort of rising up. And I feel like we haven't seen her this mad since Aviva Drescher said that she wasn't the actual writer of her book.
Yeah, she's like,
okay, I will tell you one thing, but I need to look at my notes app, because I've written them all down. And Bethany goes, oh, your copious notes.
Large font.
Yeah. She's like, oh, your copious notes. And she goes, okay. She goes, I didn't say one single thing about you, except that you don't have children. Oh, no. Oh. And Carol goes, you said clingy. And she goes, oh, no, I'm clingy. Are you okay? Are you going to be able to deal with that? Because I'm clingy. Oh, no.
Yes, that's the thing. So then Bethany does another thing, which shows that you're losing, which is that she starts taunting everything Carol says instead of, like, rebutting or clarifying or figuring it out. So she just starts to taunt, you know? But the thing is that Carol goes down this list. You know, Carol's like,
she creates a narrative about herself. And
oh,
you
yeah,
start
narrative,
to
that's
her
favorite
it.
Word.
Oh.
She just loves that word, narrative.
Yeah, narrative, yeah.
Narrative,
yeah.
Wow.
How about you say a word that doesn't have double R's? How about that, huh? Well, you always use the words double R's. How about that?
I don't know why I do that. See, I'm like, ah, I'm doing it again.
But go ahead, speak. Okay, wait, can't hear you. Walls are up. Hold on.
Walls are up.
Hold on.
Like, literally?
They're coming
like,
down. They're coming down now. Okay. Speak now. Okay, wait. They're back up. Walls are back up. Sorry, can't hear you.
Carol just goes down, like, a huge list. I mean, she wrote it all down, and she just has a whole list. And Bethany can't really even deny anything. All she can do is, like, mock or try to change the subject or harp on one little thing. And so, you know, there was the thing about the career and the kid, and Carol's like, okay, here come the big guns. She goes,
first of all, my husband died. Second of all, if he hadn't died, we would have had a kid.
And she goes, by the way, we all have the same careers here. And she goes, actually, I don't think that we do. And Carol said, the most disturbing one of all started in the Berkshires. When you age shamed me.
And Bethany and like,
it did not stop until Columbia.
And then we see the clip of Bethany saying, I know you want to be 45, Carol, but you're acting 7.
Yeah.
You know? And
she's like, look, I just said you wanted to be younger than you are. I never shamed the age you are. She goes,
shaming a woman saying you want to be 45? I've never lied about my age. I had a 50th birthday party. She goes, yeah, yeah. Well, what I'm saying is I wish you could act your age. You know, that's not age shaming. It's not calling you old.
Yeah, spoken like a real 54-year-old who wants to be a 17-year-old. That's exactly what you're doing right now. Stop it. Okay. Oh, stop it. Oh, what are we, like 29 now? Using new lingo? Stop it. Well, stop it.
Yeah, what are you, young? What are you? Yeah, that's sick, Carol.
What,
that's
spitting game? Is that what we're doing? Spitting game? Like, what is this? How old are you? So Bethany's like, listen, I'm not age shaming. Age shaming is when you are, like, making fun of someone for being old. But it's like, Bethany, when you say that someone needs to act their age, it's just a passive aggressive version of what you just said. If you're saying Carol's trying to act young, the implication is that she can't do it because she's too old.
Yes, exactly. So Annie's like, so Bethany, what's your reaction to the allegation? She's like,
I guess I'm too clingy. I guess I'm just clingy, okay?
And Carol, what is wrong with me? Carol's like,
it was when we got to Cartagena. I just couldn't take it.
She goes, why didn't you just call me a narcissist last year? Have you always thought that if you think I'm a narcissist, why didn't you call me that last year? And she goes,
well, it crossed my mind, say it because we were friends.
And she goes, oh, but it's okay for you to accuse me of having a mental disorder. And she goes,
I didn't say please, mental Bethany. Disorder. I said you're a narcissist. And she goes, that is a mental disorder, old lady.
Oh, I guess you sort of forgot because, like, in your old age, you can't remember these things, huh, Carol? Mm. So then, and then also, Bethany is like, you know, Bethany is pushing back on the idea that she's a bully, and she's like, well, you know what? Like, what's the matter? Like, if saying that she's like unavailable is bullying, then I guess I'm a bully. And then, you know, like, it's a weak list. Whatever you call this list, it's weak. And Carol's like,
weak list. I wouldn't say half of those things to an enemy, Bethany. Not even to Luann.
Excuse me, were we talking about me? Ha ha. Goodbye.
It's just like glitter flying across the stage. So then Andy's like, I've got a quote to read from Carol's blog. And then he reads this big long quote, and Carol goes,
is there a question in there somewhere, counselor? Yeah.
It's like, Andy, that's not even a question, you know? And then Bethany goes, I got a question. When did you get your medical degree?
You just got frankled.
And Dorinda's like, when did you get yours? You're calling me a drunk? This one an idiot to Tinsley.
Dorinda's probably talking to a houseplant at that point. It's like, hey, Dorinda, could you come back to the couch? Could you stop yelling at the plates?
I don't need a medical degree because I have eyes. Four of them, Bethany. Four eyes.
And she goes, you said I don't even have a career. And Bethany goes, you don't have a career. You don't. Like, literally, you don't have a career. And she goes, oh, that's female empowerment. She goes, you said in the blogs. You shamed me in the blogs. It's like, I held you accountable for what you said about me not having a career. And she goes, that's not shaming. And she goes,
no.
Like, Bethany is so infuriating. She goes, oh, so you're just saying that, like, I have a B movie and then this show.
Not The Apprentice. Where was that?
Well, I think Carol was just, like, really, I think she hit her stride at this point. Because she didn't back down from anything she said in the blog. She said she was holding Bethany accountable for bullshit she was saying on TV. She wasn't just, like, saying nasty things for the sake of it. She was, you know, very self-assured in a way that Bethany was not. And, you know, again, I have been on Bethany's side, and I have felt like, you know, I actually still do empathize with the hurt that Bethany feels. But I feel like, in this case, she did not handle herself well. She did not make her case. She looked childish. And Carol just kind of just cleaned the floor with her, if you ask me.
Bethany's just an asshole, and she didn't look like less of an asshole after this. But yeah, it did work. Her trying to trip up Carol did work because Carol, like, got some points out, but for the most part, it just looked like she was the one yelling. Because one smart thing Bethany did learn to do this year is to just stay calm.
Yeah.
She stayed so calm. I've never seen her like this. She was like, she just sat there and nodded and smiled. And so she would say horrible things and, like, taunt people, but she stayed calm. So it just makes Carol look for like now a screaming lady. You know?
Exactly. And it was sort of funny because she still managed to promote herself. She was like, you know what? You know, I do have a career. You know what? I was a natural food chef long before it was a category for people like your boyfriend. Okay?
Oh,
like,
there's a dig.
And she goes, oh, hey, I had a career, Bethany, and I'll match my resume to yours any day. She goes, oh, really? Let's talk about the current era. Okay. How about let's talk about a career right now. Okay. Update your LinkedIn, you loser.
Yeah, I thought that was also, like, unnecessary for Bethany, because Carol has had a career, and she's been successful, and, like wildly successful. You know, we forget, but, I mean, her first book was a huge success. She made it onto Oprah, which, of course, is the high benchmark.
She was a journalist. You know, she was a journalist in ABC News. That's not made up.
It wasn't like when she went, we make fun of her talking about Afghanistan, but, like, it's not like you just casually go to Afghanistan, you know, because you're in some, like, foofy job. You know, that's like you don't get sent there just on a whim, you know, because someone, like, you're privileged and someone that, you know, put you in a position.
Things that Bethany says to Carol are things that, like, you were never my friend, you know, because the things that Carol is saying to Bethany is all reactions to things it's that Bethany defense. Said they're not it's not like you're nothing, your brand sucks, you know, you don't know what you're doing, your career is worthless.
Yeah, I did like
you're
I did...
old. Like, the stuff that Bethany is saying is really mean. It's like, if you ever thought that, why were you ever my friend? You
exactly.
Know?
And
like,
if you think
my career means nothing because it was a long, you know, it ended a while ago.
I did like that, again, when Bethany's just like being like savage about Carol's career, and Carol's like, well, if that's female empowerment, you can have it, you and your brand, which I liked, because it's like, shut up about skinny girl. But the truth is, what probably happened was, I do think that Carol probably grew a little distant from Bethany. She probably acted a little too cool for school, and that's like a trigger for Bethany, as it probably would be for me, and Bethany starts to like freak out. But the way that Bethany freaks out, she doesn't handle it in a healthy way. She gets like neurotic. She sends a million texts. She gets crazy. She starts saying nasty things on TV, not on TV, passive aggressive. And that just fuels the fire, because Bethany just doesn't know how to communicate her feelings the way most of us do. In certain ways, she can be very open and like very relatable. And she can say things that are like, she's saying in a way that do feel very relatable. But I feel like when she is in her emotions, she doesn't communicate well. So her response is like very extra, sort of like Dorinda to Luann. And now Carol's just defending herself against that and reacting to it. And it's just a disaster.
Well, Bethany did express her feelings. I mean, in all those texts, it's very clear. Bethany does express her feelings. She says exactly how she's feeling. It's just that if she doesn't get her way, she acts like a fucking baby. And it's like, oh, okay, you're going to say that you need a break or you need time away from me. Fine, I'm going to try and bring you down.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Which is totally what she did. And it worked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She can express herself, but sometimes she doesn't express herself in a way that the other person can hear it, you know? And that's part of being a communicator is reading a room, you know?
Just if she doesn't get her way, she loses her fucking mind.
Yeah. So then
Carol tries to explain. She's like, Bethany, people have careers that last a lifetime. Sometimes they pivot and do something else, and then they pivot and do something else. And she's like, you're the one who brought it up, not me, Carol. And Ramona goes, actually, you did, Bethany. I mean, text her. Was that a blonde moment? It can't be, because you're not blonde like me.
Yes, I'm just evil. I guess this is just something being spoken from a pit of evil on the side of the couch, because that's what I am, apparently.
Even Andy pulls his head out of Bethany's ass for long enough to say, you're the one who brought it up on the show. It's true.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bethany's like, wow, the things you wrote about me on that blog. And she goes, I was holding you accountable for things about you, Sammy. Oh, God, I'm more tired after yelling that than I was during the whole marathon.
So Bethany's like, you bash me. You bash me. I'm like doing Ramona. So you bash me. And then Carol's like, you bash me. And then finally Andy's like, well, you know, you guys actually both really bash each other a lot on the show, which is actually true because we just saw it. And Carol at this point is so mad. She goes, you are so full of shit, Andy. I didn't bash her on the show. And Bethany just smiles so proudly because
she got exactly what she wanted.
You just went after Andy, and you're not allowed to do that.
Andy's face. It was hilarious. She was
furious.
I didn't bash her on the show. Are you kidding me? What are you afraid of her too, Andy? My God.
And he goes, yeah, I'm afraid of her.
And he's like scowling, like trying to hide. Like his eyes got so beady. He got this look like, oh, this is what the real Andy Cohen is, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And, it was. But, you know, good for her, because he has been up her ass the whole fucking time. And it's obnoxious to watch that. And I think for the most part, he's been doing a much better job. Like, he's been way more enjoyable the past couple of years at reunions to me. Because he used to not call people out on anything.
Yeah, I think the show that he's most invested in is New York, because it's the best show on the network. And it's also, like, he lives there. He's with these people a lot. So I think he's, like, invested. And he probably is like, in his mind, he also feels like he's super neutral. And so when Carol says that, he's like, fuck you. You know? He's like,
well,
fuck
he
you.
Wasn't neutral in this. I mean, Bethany just, well, he she was, feels Bethany like was a neutral. Fucking asshole. I mean, even the Bethany apologist, because Bethany has a lot of people, you know, like
yeah,
most
housewives. I've been an apologist, but even
will
I can't.
Just fight to the death over it. But yeah. We're apologists, but we can say, you know, we disagree with our heroes all the time, you know. But
I wouldn't call her my hero,
but you know, but no, but you know what I mean. Like, we'll go against, like, I love Lisa Vanderpump, but she's still wrong half the time.
I think,
at least,
I
know?
Think Bethany is, I think
but Bethany, Andy doesn't, you know, and even her biggest apologists online, like, go crazy, like, how dare you, and you don't understand what it's like going through what she's gone through in her life. Like, they'll really go there, but even they have had to be like, okay, so. She wasn't her best in that moment, but, you know, she is dealing with Jason, and it's like they're having to bring up every past trauma that Bethany's ever gone through to defend her.
I get it. I totally empathize with the emotional shit that she's been going through this season. I've said it before on this podcast many times that, like, I totally identify with that feeling of, like, oh, like, this is a friend, but now they're hanging out with someone else, you know? Like, if anything, I probably empathize too much with Bethany this season. So I don't begrudge any of her feelings that she was feeling from Carol. What I do begrudge is the way she handled herself, because that's not how you're going to, like, A, win the argument, or B, win your friend back, you know? Like, she just was, like, getting absorbed in minutiae. She was belittling. She was dismissive. And Carol was kind of, like, bringing, like, no, this is how it is. I wrote this because you were acting like that. This is what I said. You were being ridiculous. You said all these things. And she kind of, like, she came with the evidence, she came prepared, she came with confidence. I think Carol won this round, but we still have another episode.
Yeah.
But before we wrap this up, remember the other day, I was like, hey, can we get, hey, listener spotlight people, can you send stuff to us? So guess what? We got something, which means we have a very special listener spotlight. I forgot to put the music on, so here, let me try that again. Listener spotlight! Spotlight! Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like becoming part of the podcast. It's like, did you hear it?
Did you hear that?
Okay, this is from one of our frequent listener crap and spotlight people, Rebecca Shack. She just sent this in. I have actually not listened to it, but here we go.
Hello, guys. It's Rebecca Shack in Minneapolis.
Hi.
Hey, I am a longtime Patreon subscriber and have been a spotlight contributor a few times. And I don't have a lot to say new about my love of Bravo, obviously my love of Watch What Crappens. So I thought I would use this opportunity as a small business owner and now as a public servant.
Girl.
And city promote council member.
Hey!
To just push Patreon a little bit. So if anybody's listening who is not a Patreon supporter, you're missing out. You're missing out on the opportunity to support these incredibly hardworking artistes and also on tremendous bonus content. The bonus episodes are amazing, and you can subscribe, really, for as little as $1 a month, but you should be giving
it's
more
a commercial.
Than that. We should all be giving for the content that we enjoy so much. 5 days a week, 6 episodes with the bonus episode. Everybody, go to Patreon, subscribe, contribute to the hard work that Ben and Ronnie do. I know it probably seems like a lot of fun to sit and talk about Bravo every day, but honestly, it's still work. Anything that you have to do every day is work, including talking about Bravo. Anyway, I love you guys. I love all the listeners. And support Watch What Crappens. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
That was so nice. And
that was so nice.
I swear to God,
thank
we did not
so
tell
much.
Her to do that. Like, but thank you, Council Member Shack. We appreciate that. That was really, really kind. Of course, you don't have to support us on Patreon. But we always are thankful. And Rebecca, you're great. You've been a supporter, as have many of our listeners been. It's amazing. I mean, how many times? I'm becoming a broken record, being like, oh, it's amazing. We get to do what we do. It's because of you guys. It doesn't make it any less sincere. Like, it really is. Like, we were just talking about it, what, like last night, 2 nights ago. Like, if we didn't have Patreon, Like, I would still be driving Uber, probably, you know. You'd be probably doing, picking up catering gigs. So,
yeah,
you know, it has
yeah,
really helped.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you for that sweet spotlight. That was fantastic. Yeah. And what a fun day. I'm exhausted after this recap.
I am exhausted, too. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, we got the show in Denver, then we got two in New York, and then later on, we have Seattle and Nashville. It's going to be a great, great fall for Crappins and the Crappins fam. We love seeing people. Go to watchacrappins.com for the tickets. Live your best life. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about Dallas, because, girl, Dallas was hilarious last, as usual. Dallas is like, I cannot believe that Dallas is such like a varsity show on Bravo now. It is so good.
So funny. And also, don't forget, Shaz will be on Monday until we have an opening for the schedule to get Married to Medicine in there.
Yeah. So just tune in and just you'll see what we're talking about. And as simple as that. And subscribe. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Scientists believe that by the year 2018, we will be driving hovercrafts to work and teleporting to holiday destinations.
It's not easy to know what the future holds for our cities. Join host Alexander Armstrong and a panel of industry visionaries as they debate smart cities and new technologies in the urban world.
What is the purpose of a smart city? As I said, that I find it really hard to find a really good definition of a smart city. We kind of know it's about real-time change. It's about being more energy efficient. It's about things like running more smoothly. But it's more smoothly for whom? Who is going to benefit?
We are also in danger of building an incredibly powerful surveillance system. And it will start off, of course, with we're just monitoring your bins to make sure that we're going to maximise the way in which bins are being used. And then 5 years later, the local authority will be arresting people because they haven't put the right bottles in the right recycling bins.
My frustration with this is always that it's never something we decide together as a national debate. What should our cities look like? How should our towns look like in respect to our cities? What should the villages look like? What can we learn or what kind of positives should we be taking into towns in terms of kind of smart towns?
But I worry sometimes that we want to turn all of our towns into smart cities and we want to turn them all into tech hubs. Like, the danger then is that we're just creating this two-tiered society of cool techies with cool jobs and everybody else. While it is obviously good to have this new tech introduced to smaller towns, I don't think it's going to be wise if everywhere tries to become a tech hub.
Our mission is to end traffic or play a role in alleviating traffic. And we're quite optimistic about where traffic and transport's going. People who live in urban areas are going to have many, many more options to get people and things around urban areas. It'll be a lot cheaper than it is today.
Produced by Intelligence Squared in partnership with Shell, the Smart Cities podcast is available now on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and all other major platforms.
Scientists believe that by the year 2018, we will be driving hovercrafts to work and teleporting to holiday destinations.
It's not easy to know what the future holds for our cities. Join host Alexander Armstrong and a panel of industry visionaries as they debate smart cities and new technologies in the urban world. Produced by Intelligence Squared in partnership with Shell, the Smart Cities podcast is available now on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and all other major platforms.